Okay, we're going to start here on Pei Daled Amud Aleph, about 17 lines down in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ana Ishtari Mishapira Yerushalayim. I was left over from those, the beautiful ones of Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara's, or the continuation of the Gemara was that they spoke about Rabbi Yochanan before, describing his physical appearance and his physical characteristics. So the Gemara is continuing about this sugi of Rabbi Yochanan's appearance, and it says here that Rabbi Yochanan says by himself that I'm left over Mishapira Yerushalayim. Obviously, he didn't mean right at the Chorban, because Rabbi Yochanan didn't live at the Chorban, but rather that he was from the he was a remnant of those families that were Shapira Yerushalayim, that he had that toar, that appearance of the Shapira Yerushalayim. And as Rashi describes over here, that to have a Shapira Yerushalayim means Dihurei Toaro, Kirun Or Panav, that his the form of his face and the radiance of his appearance were something to behold. Haiman deboy mechsei shufrei de Rabbi Yochanan. Someone wants to replicate that appearance, that radiance of Rabbi Yochanan. Naite kasa de kasbom and beis elkei. He should bring a silver goblet that just came out of the fire. V'nimlaye pritzidia de romna. He should fill it up with pomegranate seeds. Sumka, obviously red. Nardele klila de varda sumka de pume. Then he should put a wreath or a crown of red roses around the mouth of the goblet. Minotve ben shimsha letula, and then sit the goblet between the on the border between the sun and the shade. And then how is that radiance or that light that you see from there is main shufrei de Rabbi Yochanan. That's a semblance of the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan. Mar says ini, was Rabbi Yochanan really so beautiful? Amamar shufrei Rav Kahana main shufrei de Rabbi Abo, that Rav Kahana had beauty that was a percentage, a small amount of the beauty of Rabbi Bo. Shufrei de Rabbi Bo me'ein shufrei de Yaakov. Rabbi Bo had some of that beauty of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu, shufrei de Yaakov Avinu me'ein shufrei de Amarishon, was a percentage or a portion of the beautiful beauty or the radiance of Adam Arishon. V'ilu Rabbi Yochanan lo kachashiv le. Rabbi Yochanan didn't make it onto the list of people who had this shufrei. It says Shani Rabbi Yochanan d'adarat panim lo avile, that he did not have adarat panim. Rashi says adarat panim is that he didn't have a zakan, that he didn't have a beard. We're going to see from the story coming up that it might make some sense that he didn't have a beard, and that's why he wasn't classified in those people in that lineage of those that were considered shufrei. So Rabbi Yochanan v'azvi yativ a'sharei tevilo. Rabbi Yochanan used to go sit on the doorways on the path or the way out from the mikveh. Amar kisakam b'not yisrael mitzvilot mitzvah lefa go bi, that when the women come out from their tefillot mitzvah, they'll see me. Keichet avlehu b'nei shapiri kavati, because then when they see me, they'll have children beautiful like myself. And gemiri arid raita kavati, and they'll learn Torah like me. So we've seen this a number of times in the Gemara. The Gemara believes that the visual aspects of what a person sees lifnei tashmish or during tashmish has an impact on the child or the uber that is born of that tashmish. So over here, Rabbi Yochanan was suggesting he sat outside the mikveh, so when the women came out and were going back to their husbands, they would see him, and that would somehow create an ubar that was a replica in some way of him, both in beauty and in Torah. So when it says, "Let me stop him, Mar Meina Bisho." Didn't Rabbi Yochanan worry about the Ayin Hara? I mean, why would he sit there if he was worried people would look at him and say, you know, he's in a sense, you know, showcasing his beauty and his Torah, and you could get an Ayin Hara from that. Amar Lahu, Ana Mizar de Yosef, Katina Toshat Be'ein Nam Bisha. Says, I'm from the descendants of Yosef, and therefore I'm not worried about it because descendants of Yosef are protected from the Ayin Hara. Dechtiv, because it says, Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Ale Ayin. So over there, it seems that the women or the peoples tried to climb the wall in order to peer over the wall. That's Ale Ayin, to get a glimpse of Yosef. Not that Ale Ayin, that they got climbed up to get a glimpse, but rather Ale Ayin means that those that are above the Ayin, and being above something is indicative of one's control over it, or one's being not subject to its influence. So Riosi Rav China Amar Mihalcha says from here, because it says in the bracha that Yaakov gives Menashe and Ephraim, it says Vidgula Rov Bekerav Haaretz Vidgula Rov, the shorash of the word Vidgula is Dag Madagim Shemayam Mayim Mechasim Otam Veina Ayin Sholet Bem, just like the fish of the sea, the waters cover them and the eye does not, they're not visible to the eye. Av Zerosh Yosef and Ayin Sholet Bem, so too the Zerov Yosef does not have the Ayin Hara that is Sholet in them. So Rabbi Yochanan did not worry about the Ayin Hara, and therefore he sat there in order to provide a public service to all the women who were coming out of the mikvah. One day, Rabbi Yochanan was swimming in the Yarden. Rabbi Yochanan saw him shaver the Yarden, and he crossed or jumped across the Yarden after him. Rabbi Yochanan commenting on Reish Lakish says, your strength should be used towards Torah. And Reish Lakish's response from Yochanan is, your beauty should be for women. So again, I think this reinforces the point that we made before, that when it says that Yochanan did not have a darat panim, did not have a beard, that over here, if he didn't have a beard, that would make sense in Reish Lakish's same team, that your beauty should be for women. So I'm like, well, that's, and in Ochanami, it should be for women. That if I chozer b'tshuva, I'll give you my sister, Shapira Minai, that's more she's more beautiful than I. And now, the Rashi over here thinks that Reish Lakish was a, we'll see in a second, was a Rav Liganavim Listim, he was a marauder, and then he was now coming back to Torah. The Rabbeinu Tam has a different sheet over here, and that's because over it says Hadar Becha. To be Hadar means to come back. So Rabbeinu Tam believes that it means he was Chozer B'tshuva, that at one point Reish Lakish learnt, and he was a Talmud Chacham, then he went off the Derech and became a Melastim Biriot, became one of the marauders, and then now Rabbi Yochanan was trying to bring him back. And his proof is from later on, we'll see in a second. Hadar B'chavlecha. So he says, Kabbalah, he accepted it. He wanted to jump back from wherever Rabbi Yochanan was, where he had jumped. Reish Lakish jumped him, he wanted to jump back to the other side to get his belongings. He couldn't make the crossing again. And Rashi says that once he was Mekabel of Old Torah, then already Tashash Kochol. Then we know that one who learns Torah, who accepts the Ola Torah, it weakens him. And so he was already, since he already accepted the Ola Torah, he already felt that weakness, and he was no longer able to jump like he did before. Akariya v'atnaya v'shavya gavarabo. So Rabbi Yochanan taught him from ABCs to all the way through the Gemara, and he made him into a tremendous Talmud Chacham. One day there was a discussion or a disagreement in the Beit Medrash. Asayif asakin v'pagyon roman v'megliyar makal katzir, in the Beit Medrash, about a sword, a knife, a dagger, a javelin or a spear, magliyad, a scythe, and a harvesting scythe. Meima time mekablin tuma. When do they become ra'ui to accept tuma? And one of the principles of tuma is that you have to have what's called gemar melachtan. The kli has to be finished to the point where it's usable. Until the point that it's finished where it's usable, then it's not mekabel tuma. So what is that finishing point? Mishat gemar melachtan. Of course, from the time that it's finished or completed. Meima time gemar melachtan. When is it considered to be completed? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishat Zerfein Bekivshan. Rabbi Yochanan says when you fire them in the furnace, that's when they are considered to be finished. Reish Lakish Amar Mishat Tzachtachan Memaim. Until you and clean them off with the water, or you dip them in the water afterwards, that's when they're considered to be completed. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, he says that a thief knows his wares, meaning he knows his weapons or his kelim that he used for his being marauding. So therefore we should believe Reish Lakish because he is a baki in these issues. So, of course, Reish Lakish took offense to this, that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned something about his past. When did all this learning help me? So the way Rashi reads it is that before they used to call me the head of the thieves. Now they call me a rabbi also, they call me a head of the Beis Medrash. But I was a rabbi before, and now I'm a rabbi now. And what is this learning helping me? Because you're still calling me a thief. So that's the way Rashi learns it, but that's because Rashi thinks that Reish Lakish came back from nothing and to becoming a Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam, who thinks that he was Chozer B'tshuva, that he had learned earlier and then was Chozer B'tshuva, so he explains that what it means, Rabbo here, is that they used to call me Rabbi beforehand, meaning that before I went out to be Melastim B'rit, I had the Shem Rabbi, and now I have a Shem Rabbi. Where did you help me in between to make me into a Rabbi? Now you're still calling me at least Stim, and I was just as good before when I had my original title of Rabbi. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns it over here. So Rabbi Yochanan responded to him, what do you mean? I helped you out. I brought you under the wing of Hashem. I mean, I brought you back from being Melastim B'riot back into the Olav Torah. So Chalash Dati to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan was offended or distraught about the statement of Reish Lakish that he hadn't, Rabbi Yochanan, all the investment that he made in Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish felt was it worth it because of what had transpired? Chalash Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish fell ill because of the distraught state of Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was offended and distraught caused Rabbi Reish Lakish to be sick now. Min HaShemayim. Ati Achtei. So Rabbi Yochanan's sister came to speak to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan's sister, who is Reish Lakish's wife, comes to speak to her brother to clear up the issue and say, please, can you help out my husband? I want to be able to have my husband around. Do at least for my son, that said he'll have a father. Says, don't worry about your yitomim, I will take care of them. Meaning that this is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, but it's really referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking, that the leftover yitomim I will take care of, I will support. So over here, Rabbi Yochanan ends up buying to himself that don't worry about your child, I'll take care of your child. What about me? I'm going to be left a widow. So he says, Amalav, Amanutayach, Alai Tiftachu. So again, the continuation of that same pasuk in Yirmiyahu, he says, don't worry, your widow, I will take care of. You can rest on me or lean on me, and I will take care of you. So Nach Nafshed Rav Shimon Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish passed away because of this incident, this altercation. Rav Kamitz Dar Rav Yochanan Batrei Tuva, and Rav Yochanan was very upset or distraught over the death of Reish Lakish. So man, lezav leitvei da'ate, who will go and placate, comfort, or ease the Yochanan's pain over here? Nezel Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, so he'll go. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat will go and be the nechama for him. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who is known as a tremendous talmid chacham, the chadin din shmatate, that he is, his words are very sharp and that his learning is very clear. Azal yativ kamei, so he went and said to learn before Rabbi Yochanan. Kol misl da'av emir Rabbi Yochanan, anything that Rabbi Yochanan said, amalei tanyud v'sayelach, I can bring you a brisa to support that position. Marat kfar lakisha. He says, you're like Reish Lakish? No way. Bar Lakisha, Gav, Amina, Milta, anything. I said something of him, actually, Yisrin V'Arba Kushiyato. He'd ask me 24 questions, Umarfarik, Nale, Yisrin V'Arba Pruke, and then I'd give him 24 answers. Umemela, Rav Koshmaito. And from that exchange, or that interaction that I had with Rabbi Reish Lakish, we're able to clarify and be mechadeid to focus on the din. And it came out a much stronger din and understanding of what the halacha was. And you come and tell me, oh great, we have a brace that supports you. He says, I don't know that what I'm saying is correct. I know what I'm saying is correct, but we want to clarify, we want to be mechadeid exactly what I'm saying. And that's what Reish Lakish did for me, and you can't. So he would go around, he was ripping his clothes, and crying, where are you, Reish Lakish? Where are you, Reish Lakish? He was crying or screaming out until he lost his mind. The Rabbanan asked for Rachamim in Hashemayim, and then he passed away. So a couple of things just to note here. First of all, the Gemara continued. The Gemara is going to go back to the story of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon right now. So this segue, or this little interlude that the Gemara had, was in this description of the size of Rabbi Elazar and Shimon and the appearance. And that's what got us into the story of Rabbi Yochanan. But I also point out that they had a similar type of personality. We saw before that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon was hefty, and so was Rabbi Yochanan, it seems like, from the Gemara. And in the Gemara's description of them, that they're both beautiful, and we'll see that on the second half of today's daf, or in tomorrow's daf, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon seems was very beautiful. But they also had, in the personality-wise, that they were kapdanim, that they angered quickly, and they acted upon that anger quickly, and then regretted it afterwards. We saw that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, by the koves, he acted because he was mechutzaf, and then afterwards he regretted doing that, and he tried to rectify the situation. Obviously he couldn't. And then Rabbi Yochanan here, too, where he got angry at Reish Lakish, and he refused to back down at first, and then when he came afterwards, he regretted it, and then he couldn't, again, rectify the situation. It was too late. And then the last thing is at the end of the Gemara here, it's not the sugya for here, it's the sugya and end of Ketubot and other places about euthanasia, which is the euthanasia, the ability to take someone's life, where we consider quality of life when we end someone's life. Over here we see the Rabbanan prayed that Rabbi Yochanan's life would end because the quality of his life had deteriorated. He had gone out of his mind, and he was unable to continue without Reish Lakish. And the other case where we have this similar type of item is in the end of Gemara in Ketubos by Amte the Rabbi, the maidservant of Rabbi. Rabbi was very sick at the end of his life, and the Rabbanan didn't want him to go up to Shemayim, so they were davening to keep him here, and Rabbi was in tremendous pain. So his maidservant threw a kli down from upstairs and made a loud noise. All the Rabbanan stopped davening, and then Rabbi passed away in that time period. So there, the Gemara does not criticize Amte the Rabbi. She doesn't criticize the maidservant. So that's the other proof towards the fact that one can, in terms of quality of life, maybe possibly make that as a consideration in not pursuing or not persisting in someone's life. Obviously, these are unique cases here. It has to do with tefillah or stopping tefillah. And there are other proofs in the other direction. I'm just noting it here as part of that larger sugyo that we discussed when we were in Ksubos. So now, afilu ruhachi lo samach Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon adate. So the Rabbi Shimon b'Elazar, even though after all of this, when he cut himself up, they put the fat out in the sun, all these things, he was not comfortable. He wanted to be sure of himself that he was doing the right thing. He wanted to be sure that when he was giving over these people to the government, that he was doing the right thing, and that he wasn't going to be held accountable for that. So therefore, a couple of days, he accepted upon himself Yisurim. At night, they used to place under him 60, seems to be like felt cloths underneath of him. In the morning, they used to take him out from him, worn down these cloths, were all worn and torn, and Dama Vekiba, full of blood and pus. The Machar Avdele Debitu, after the next day, his wife made for him, Shittin Mine Dafta, 60 different dishes. V'achilu bari, and he ate them and he get healthy again. Well, v'shafkalei debitul lemeipak lemeipidrusha. His wife would not let him go to the base medrash. Ki'echadolo dachuku rabbanan. In order that the rabbanan went, I think, put a physical strain on him. He was weakened from these isurim, and therefore his wife did not permit him to go to base medrash because of the tightness of the base medrash, or people were coming over to him a lot, and it would take a physical toll on him, so she didn't let him go to the base medrash. Borta amarlu achai v'rai bo. At night he used to say, then my friends, my brothers, come to me, meaning the isurim. Tafra amarlu zilu. In the morning he'd say, please leave me if maybe tul torah, because I have to learn it now. Yom echad shamach to bitu. One day his wife heard him saying this. Amarle at kamaiti lu alayach. Says, you bring these on you willingly? I thought this was an ailment or sickness that you had. How could it be that you bring them on willingly? Kalita mamon shabet abo. You wiped out. You used up all the money of my father's house. Imrado. She rebelled. Azla debet naso. And she went back home to her father's house. Sliku va'atu hanach shitin suvanai. So now Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon's in a little trouble because he has these sermon at night. He needs his wife to cook him the dishes in the morning to get healthy, and she's not around. So all of a sudden, these 60 sailors show up at the door. They gave him 60 servants. And they had 60 wallets or money bags in their hands. And each one of them cooked them, dishes. And then he ate them. So now, why are these sailors all showing up with this material? Rashi and Tosfos quote a story, slightly different versions of the story, but these sailors were out at sea. And it was a large storm, and their ship was going to be wrecked at sea. There was waves overtaking them, and they davened, according to Rashi, they said, "B'schuto shel Rabbi Elazar," that in the schut of Rabbi Elazar, can you save us? And then they were saved in the schut of Rabbi Elazar. Therefore, when they came up, they came to bring him a gift. Tosu says that they actually said that they were menader to give this gift to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, and that's what stopped the maim over there. But either way, he ends up with these gifts, and over time, now with these gifts, he becomes healthy because he's able to eat now and get healthier. So Yom Echad, Amra la levrato zili baki bavuch. One day, the mother said to her daughter, "Go and check on your father. My Calvin, what's he doing? How you know today?" Ati Amra la. When she came, he said to her, Rabbi Elazar said to her, "Zilu Amri limech. Go back to your mother and tell her shalanu gadol mishalahem. What we have now is greater than theirs." So Two possibilities, two interpretations here. One is means that the reward latid lavo is greater than all the money of your father's house. That's the lamazeh. And latid lavo, our learning and what we're doing is going to be latid lavo. The other one is now that the wealth that these sailors had brought to him, he could say now, our wealth now is greater than the wealth of your father's house ever was. And it's all been replaced and more, the money that we had lost. So Karya Nafshei said about himself, "Idea keniot socher mimerchok tavi lachma." So he said about himself from the Eshet Chayil, which in Mishle, which is looked at as, and Rashi interprets it that way, that it's a mashal ala Torah, if you look in Mishle. And therefore, when it says those that were learning Torah, they were like boats that bring wares in Merchok Tavid Achma, from afar they bring their goods. So also here, Rabbi Shimon, or Elazar ben Shimon, who was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, who was taking on his Yisurim, Mi'avo, so Hashem provided for him because he was Torah, so therefore the Lachem came from afar and supplied him. Achav Ashati Ubari, he ate, drank, and got healthy. Nafak the Bay Midrash, so he finally went out to the base Midrash because his wife wasn't there to stop him now. Aitu Lekamei, Shitin Minei Damo. They brought for him 60 marot of nida to see if the blood was tahor. Tarinu, he said they're all tahor. Havakumaranane Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were questioning, rumors were circulating about how could it be 60 dam, and he says all of them tahor, it's impossible. I said, how could it be? There's not one safek in all of these 60. There's got to be at least one safek here. How could he pass and all of them are tahor? He says back to Rabbanan, if it's the halachas like me, meaning that they're all tahor, you kulam zacharim. Every one of these women will give birth to a male child. If there's a single one of these women that gives birth to a female child, then I'm wrong. You kulam zacharim. Each one of these women gave birth to a ben zachar, to a male child. Vasikuluhu, and they all called him. Our Gemara has a girsa of Rabbi Elazar. Then Yaakov has a girsa, probably makes more sense, is Elazar. They called him Elazar al Shmei, after him, because he had the one who, first of all, made them tahor, so they were able to go back to the husbands and then have a child, but also because of his statement that to prove his point, they would have to all have ben zachar, so they all had children because of that, and therefore they called him after his name. Tanya Amar Rabbi Kama Piri Rivya Bitla Risha Zumi Israel. how much procreation or children that could be born to Klal Yisrael were stopped because of this Risha. Rashi brings two interpretations of Risha. Risha is either Machuta, Risha means the Roman government who pressed Rabbi Shimon into service to be a thief catcher rather than to be in the Beis Medrash paskening on Marot. He brings a second interpretation, which is that it's his wife, Risha Azu, his wife who was evil, who held him back from coming to Beis Medrash, caused this problem. The Gra eliminates that Girsa. We're going to see later on from between tomorrow's daf that it doesn't seem that way, because Rabbi is the one making a statement here, and later Rabbi proposes to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's wife, so it doesn't seem to be that he would have called her Risha. When Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was about to pass away, Amar La Lidbitu, he said to his wife, Yadana b'derabanan d'retichi alai. I know that the Rabbanan are upset at me or angry at me because I put some of their relatives into jail, I handed them over to the government. I mean that they're not all so happy with me. But let me ask Ube. And they're not going to deal with me, Shapir, properly. Ugnin bi letaiv lo tidchanu minai. Place me up in the attic. After I pass away, place me up in the attic and don't worry about it. I will not deteriorate. No problem, just leave me in the attic. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel Menachem, Ishtaylei Imei, the Rabbi Nontan. So Rabbi Shmuel Menachem says that I was told by the mother of Rabbi Yochanan, the Ishtaylei, the Bitu, the Rabbi Lazar, was told by the wife of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Lo Pocho, Mitam Neisari, Velo Tfei, Measrina Tartin Shnein, no less than 18 and no more than 22 years, Ognei Tebelita, that he was there. He was there in the Aliyah, in the attic of their house, for between 18 and 22 years. Kevasalikna, Meinen Alei, Bimazio, when she used to go up there to see him, she used to cut his hair with a razor, so because it was still growing. When she pulled the hair out from him, then the blood came out, meaning an indication that he was in full form, that he had not deteriorated, the corpse had not deteriorated at all, and that he was as if the day that he had passed away. One day she saw a worm or a maggot coming out of his ear. She got worried, she got upset that maybe the body had started to decompose and that she needed to remove the body. There was something wrong. She says that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon came to me in a dream. Don't worry about it. One day I heard a denigration of a young Talmud Chacham, and I didn't object strongly enough. I objected, but not strongly enough. When two people had a din, they used to come to the door of the Aliyah. Amar Milte, one person would present his case. Amar Milte, and the other person would present his side of the case. Nafikala Miliote, and then a voice would come out from the attic. Vamar Ishplani Atachayav, Ishplani Atazakai. Meaning that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was still paskening Shilos and holding court, even though he was had passed away and he was lying in the Aliyah. Yomachad Avaka Minsa Devitu Bahadi Shivata. One day, his wife got into an altercation with the neighbor. It's clear here from this story that his wife did return to him because she was there at the time of his death. And here's another story where she was altercation with her neighbor seems to be that she had seen her husband. I mean, we saw from the stories before. And later on, also, it seems from the Gemara that she had returned. It's not clear when, but she did return to him. So the neighbor said to the wife of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, she should be like her husband, who was never buried. For this long, it's become too long that he stayed there. It's already not covered a mate. We really need to bury him. It took 18 years to do that, or 18 to 22 years, but that's what they felt at this point. His father came to them in a dream. I have a young chick amongst you, my one child. It's Lee, and you're not letting him come to me. Why aren't you bringing him to Kavura? So the Rabbanan, either after the chastisement of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai or after this issue with the neighbor and his wife, they came to take Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon for burial. The people of this town of Achbaria did not permit them to go and take Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. All those years that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was resting, meaning that he was laid to rest up in the attic, no wild beasts or animals came into their town, meaning that he was a form of protection for them, and therefore they didn't want the Rabbanan to remove him from there because he was providing them that protection. Which is interesting, they call him Achbarayo, which is the place was called the place of the mice. And that term, analogy, which is, when you think about mice scampering around, and that were causing the Rabbanan not be able to approach the body of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Yom Achad, Mala Yom HaKippurim, one day was Erev Yom HaKippurim, Avatriday, The people of the town were very busy. They were getting ready for Yom Kippurim. Shadu Rabbanan Bnei Birei. So the Rabbanan sent to Bnei Birei. So it's not clear what these Bnei Birei, either they're a city that's close by, or they're Krovim. They're actually relatives of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, or Kforim, that they were all people part of the burial society, whatever it is. Vasku Alar, say they snuck out his Mita. They brought him to the cave of his father, Rabbi Shimon Yochai. They got to the cave and they see there's a snake wrapped up in front of the door to the cave, not allowing anybody to enter. And it had its mouth and its tail. Said to the snake, open your mouth so that he would unravel and allow them in. But Yikanai's bene to Aviv, so the son can rejoin his father. Potochlu, and that's it, what happened. He opened up the cave and he came in. And we'll continue tomorrow with the Gemara over here about Rabbi after the death of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar ben Shimon proposing to his widow.